Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Prepare. I mean, that word is plastered on our pyramids, adorning our pulpit and altar during Advent, because Advent is a season of preparations, of being prepared. Preparing on one hand for Christmas, celebrating the first Advent or coming of our Lord, and we're also looking forward to that second Advent, because Advent is a time of preparing. Have you ever stopped and wondered, well, what is the sound of all this preparing? What does preparing sound like? Could it be the ringing of Salvation Army bells outside the store? Could it be the beeps of the register scanner or the clicks of the computer mouse as you shop for gifts? The deep sigh that you let out as you look at an already full calendar. The sound of quiet sobs as you remember loved ones who are not with you this year. Yeah, it's probably all the above. But there are other sounds of Advent, this Advent season. They're the sounds of repentance and faith. These are the sounds expressed by those who are being prepared to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in his now and his coming Advent. In the gospel reading for today, we hear the most important sound of Advent, and that is a voice crying in the wilderness, "Repent." Oh, but what should I repent from? You know, Black Friday has given way to Cyber Monday. Really, it's kind of Cyber Week, isn't it? Now, I have nothing against finding deals when shopping, nor about either of these festal shopping days, but what I do have a problem with, brothers and sisters in Christ, is my own proclivity to look for gifts for myself rather than for my wife or my kids or anyone else for that matter. I have a problem with my own selfishness, with my own inability to think of others before myself. And this is something that I am called to repent from. I'm called to repent from all my covetous desires. I am called to repent from my idolatry as I put myself above others. What shall I repent from? Well, boy, if only the Lord has prepared a simple list, maybe 10 things, 10 commandments that might help us in our preparing of what to repent from. See, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord gives us his law, these commandments, for us to be prepared that we would repent of our sin. Repentance is a God-pleasing response to hearing the law. Repentance is a right response. When we hear the law of the Lord proclaimed either from the pulpit or read in our devotions or in our scriptures, it's a right response because it acknowledges that God's will is not by nature my own. It acknowledges that we need to be conformed to Christ, not Christ conformed to me. Repentance includes a healthy sorrow for what you have done wrong, or even what is wrong. Repentance is always the work of the Holy Spirit, that as you hear the word of the Lord, you're not fighting against it or trying to justify yourself in light of it, but willingly submitting to his divine authority. The call to repent is one of the sounds of Advent. It's one of the sounds of preparation to receive the coming King of Kings. Hearing his commandments, responding by the work of the Holy Spirit to say things like we just did in the beginning of service, "I am by nature sinful and unclean. I am a poor and miserable sinner." That is a proper and a fitting sound. This, by the way, was the sound of those who came to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. He was the one who is there preaching the law, calling all to repent and receive a baptism for the forgiveness of their sins. And many who heard that call to repent did. But there were others who did not. There were those who rejected the preaching of God's word and who went away with hard hearts. In the gospel is told by Matthew, those who rejected John's preaching and baptism, the Pharisees, the scribes, many of them, they also rejected Jesus and his baptism. They cut themselves off from Jesus in their life of unrepentance, and they remain cut off from him in their deaths. They did not receive the king in his first advent, and they will be raised and banished at his second advent. They did not heed the call to repent, and as a result, no sounds of repentance. Now, the call to repent is one of the sounds of Advent. The call to faith is the other sound. Like melody and harmony, like peanut butter and jelly, the two go together, though they are different. Repentance is the working of the law. Faith receives the gifts of the gospel. Repentance invites you to look at yourself, but faith compels you to look outside of yourself. Repentance is over your sin. Faith is directed in your Savior from sin. For the Christian faith is rooted in Christ Jesus. Right in the Jordan at the first advent of our Lord, John pointed outside of himself. He pointed to Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He pointed to Jesus with the eyes of faith and he saw that he was greater than John and that John was unworthy to untie his sandals. He pointed to the anointed one of Yahweh, the Christ, the Messiah, who is the fulfillment of the promise back to Adam and Eve and who would bring about salvation for all. John pointed to Jesus, who had come to bring rescue long promised. And here in this first advent of Jesus, the promises of Yahweh are being fulfilled. The Savior of the nations has come. So repentance over our sin is one of the sounds of Advent, but so is faith in Jesus, who has come to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They're sounds that we are to hear during this Advent season. An illustration maybe to help flesh this out a little bit. Imagine if you were to go to the shelter today and you pick up a dog and you bring it home. This dog has not known a secure or loving home. It only knows fear, not faith. Meaning that this new dog that you're going to bring into your home thinks that it is always in trouble. And when it hears the sound of your voice, the dog cowls and pees and then tries to run away from you. It doesn't matter if he's being called over for a treat. He's going to respond with fear and make a mess. Maybe hide under the bed or in his kennel. The hope is that this dog will learn to hear the sound of your voice, to fear, to love, to trust in you, the owner, as the owner in turn demonstrates kindness and love and care for that new dog. As you come to him as he is cowering in the kennel, speaking in a reassuring tone, cleaning up his mess, all because of your love and your care for that frightened dog who is afraid of the sound of your voice. It's like that for the Lord and his creatures. It's like that for you and me in our relationship with our Lord. It's like that for you and I who are offsprings of Adam and Eve. Do you remember what Adam and Eve did after they sinned and went against the Lord by not obeying his word? I mean, you could say very simply that they cowered, they made a mess, and they fled just like a dog. See, the Lord in love sought them out. The Lord showed them who is in charge. Yes, that's true, but he also demonstrated his incredible kindness and his love for them. He covered their nakedness and their shame. He promised to crush the head of the serpent and to clean up the mess of their sin that they were wallowing in. And he promised to do it through the advent of a child, one who is going to be born of a woman. And so Adam and Eve trusted. They trusted in the sound of the Lord's voice. They trusted that the Lord would do what he had promised. Now, if any of you are taking offense at being compared to a dog, I offer up to you that it's not really that far of a stretch. Recall when our Lord encountered the bold Canaanite woman who petitioned him so that he might heal her daughter. It's in Matthew 15. She said, "Lord, help me." And Jesus said to her, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And the daughter was healed instantly. The sound of the Lord's voice. As Jesus was being petitioned, he said to his disciples, "Look, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The fact of the matter is, we all, like sheep or dogs, have gone astray. We need to be sought out. We need to be rescued. We long for the mess of our sin to be cleaned up. And see, this is exactly what Jesus has come to do. For he is the good shepherd who has come to care for his flock. He seeks us out when we're lost. His death and his resurrection are enough to forgive our sin. His return in glory will fulfill all righteousness and be done with the mess of our sin once and for all. And so he is the one in whom our trust is anchored. His voice is the sound that we should be hearing, calling us to repent, to live in faith. As our faith is anchored in him, the more we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the more opportunity we have for our faith to grow. The more we encounter his kindness and his mercy, the more we see how he cleans up our mess, the more that we see that he seeks us out, well, the more we grow in our faith to him. We know the passage from James, right? Faith without works is dead. That is to say, we don't grow in our faith only for our own benefit. We thought of that before. Growing in our faith for our own benefit, as if we're trying to pat ourselves on the back at how good of a Christian we are, is kind of like shopping for yourself on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. It's selfish, and it is not at all what the Lord has intended. Right? It's for the benefit of your neighbor. Another way to think about it is like this. You know, each of us has to eat food, right? We just celebrated Thanksgiving not too long ago. We had a wonderful meal, and we were a little fuller than what we were at most meals. We have to eat food to grow. If you eat good food, but you do not exercise, well, you're going to grow, but not in a good way, right? That's what sweatpants are for. But if you eat the right food, you exercise, well, then you start growing in a good way. And likewise, in similar ways, faith, right? Our faith in Christ is to be exercised in the works of love for our neighbor. It is looking outside of us. And the Lord provides for your neighbors, for the faith that he has given you to be exercised in loving service to them, right? The fruits of the Spirit that the Lord provides in you and grows in you isn't so that you get a gold star or a better seat in heaven. It's for the care of your neighbor. The peace, the patience, the love, the joy, all those things are not for your benefit alone, but for the benefit of your neighbors whom the Lord has put in your path. Go back to the Jordan for a moment. This time, the gospel as told by Luke, chapter 3. It's the same scene. John is there preaching in the Jordan. People are repenting and, in faith, are being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Only in Luke's gospel, we get this additional detail. Those who were baptized wanted to know what good works look like. What is the fruit of this? They wanted to know how they were to love their neighbor. They wanted to know how they can serve their neighbors in love. And we have a few different people occupying different vocations. And to each one, John proclaims what love for your neighbor looks like. For the tax collectors, he says, it looks like not stealing. For the soldier, it looks like not using your authority to bully others. And to others, it's simply sharing the good things that God has given you with others. That is what love for your neighbor looks like. Love for your neighbor is the fruit that comes from repentance and faith in Christ. But it's expressed in different ways, each as unique as your vocations. When you go to the grocery store, you see the different things in the produce section, the apples, oranges, bananas, pomegranates, kiwis, all kinds of different fruits. All of them are unique, all coming from a different plant or bush or tree. In the same way, love for your neighbor can be expressed in all sorts of different ways. Can be expressed individually as a father to his son or a wife to her husband. Can be expressed corporately as a congregation to a community. There's no limit. But one thing is true. These fruits of repentance and faith, these works of love for your neighbor, they all ultimately come from one tree, and that's the cross. For it's through the cross that our Lord has dealt ever so kindly with us and with our sin. It is there that our Lord, who is baptized in the Jordan to bear our sin, suffered and died in our place. For us, the cross is the tree of life. And from it, we eat the fruits that were given there. From the cross, we receive the body and the blood of Jesus given and shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. It's in eating this food that we grow in our faith, and it's from eating this food that we find the strength to have our faith exercised in love for our neighbors. Without the cross, we're lost and condemned creatures. We're lost in our own selfishness. We are left cowering and fleeing from God. We are left in the sin or the mess that our sin has created. But see, in the cross, we are forgiven and redeemed. In the cross, we are assured that the Lord is redeeming all of his creation from unrighteousness. In the cross, we find that we are free to be selfless in our giving. In the cross, we are learning to trust as we are drawn to the Lord in his kindness and his mercy and his love for you and for me and for all people. Advent is a season to prepare. And the sounds of Advent truly are repentance and faith. Repentance over our sin, faith in Jesus who forgives. This is the advent of our Lord. As he comes to you and you hear his word, let him hear your repentance. And as you hear and receive his forgiveness, let the Holy Spirit strengthen and grow your faith in him. And as you grow in faith to Christ, let the Holy Spirit exercise your faith and love for your neighbor. until the final advent of our Lord. These are the sounds of Advent. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our now and coming King. Amen.